Fellow Freedom fans, we're back. I'm David Allen Carmichael on this Eagle 104.3 FM Liberty Works Radio Network. This is my Faith and Freedom show. Before the break, yes, it's commercial talk radio. Just get a grip. You're going to hear my religious viewpoint here for a moment, okay? Just bear with me. But I've got a very good story just before the break. For those of you who are tuning in, just before the break, I was talking about this guy, Jay, when I was in a situation where I was out of a job and I'm kind of faking it, trying to get my survival going, and all I had was one more house payment and a $5 bill. And I got in a situation where I saw a guy who needed a ride to work, and it was something I always did. When times were good, I always stopped and did my charitable deed and took care of one of the least of these, and I would give him a ride. When he would ask for money, I'd give him money. That's just the way I did things. But now I'm in a faith crisis, because I'm in a financial bind that I'd never been in, and I'm having to be obedient. I'm actually doing my duty of religion, and it was challenging me financially. So what happened is, here is guy Jay. He wanted a ride to work. I begrudgingly gave him a ride to work. At the end of the ride, he did what he always does, is he asked me for money. I thought I had my $5 discretionary spending money in my wallet. I thought I did. It turned out when I had picked up my wallet off the shelf, this $5 that was sitting under the wallet, you know, it wasn't in the wallet. It turns out it was still sitting on that shelf at home. And when I looked in my wallet, all I had was the emergency money, two 20s and a 10. And I realized when I was going to give money to Jay after he asked for it, all I had didn't have my smarty pants $5, like I was doing a big noble deed, giving him my $5 of discretionary money when he asked for it. What I was going to have to do was give him $10, which would put me now $5 short of a house payment. And when I opened up my wallet, with my bad attitude, knowing I was doing the right thing, a good deed with a bad attitude, no heavenly reward coming my way with this one, I looked in there, and when I saw that 10, all of a sudden, I actually almost started laughing, because I realized I'm going to be $5 short of a house payment. I was grumbling over just giving away my discretionary money. Now I'm actually going to have need. All of a sudden, it occurred to me, oh my goodness, I need God to save me now. I don't even have the money for a house payment, okay? So this is my situation. Now, watch what I did. This is my evil heart. Now, I know, see, he's got a warped mind. He's kind of a con man. He asks for money whether he needs it or not. That's just what he does. That's just his practice in life. But what I did then was really actually very wicked, because I knew what his response would be, but I did it anyway, and it's called sin, all right? I did sin. Listen to what I did. I pulled out a $10 bill. I'd already asked him, Jay, will $5 be okay? He goes, sure. I pull out my $10 bill, and I reach over to him. I said, do you have change? And guess what Jay did? Guess what Jay did? He knee-jerk, without thinking about it, kind of, you know when you got money in your back pocket on your right side, what your body does when you're sitting in a car, you kind of lean forward and to the left and reach back. That's exactly what Jay did when I asked him if he had change for a 10. He had money. I even say, oh, I need money for a cup of coffee, right? He had money in his pocket, and I knew it. Of course I knew it, but it was wicked. I shouldn't have done that. That was not necessary. But and then when he goes, oh, and he catches himself and he goes, no, I'm afraid. And he very slowly gets back and tries to act as if very casual, get back to the normal position. I don't think I have that. No, I said, don't worry about it. Here, take the $10. And then he got out of my car quickly. I'm telling you, he just scampered, because he was aware that he let the cat out of the bag. That yes, he had more discretionary money than I had. Okay, let's just say it. So he walks out of the car, and you know what? I felt really bad, because here I was. I'm giving away $10. I'm making myself in a situation where I'm $5 short of a house payment over this, and with a bad attitude. I'm doing supposedly a good deed with a bad attitude, making myself $5 short of a house payment. I mean, this is not getting me anything. And then I taunted him with this thing. I mean, I'm wicked, okay? That was just wicked. But now it occurs to me, you know what? I need divine intervention now. I mean, I really did. I realized, now I'm really in a bind. I really am in a bind. So I'm driving along, and I'm also at the same time, all of a sudden I realize, you know what? You can talk faith all day long, but when are you going to put feats to it? F-E-A-T-S. I mean, when do we ever really put our trust that, say, what you read in the Bible is actually true? When do you do it? You don't do it. You might talk about it. You might have a religious view, religious opinion in a good weather, you know, a fair weather fan religion. But here I was in a jam, and am I really willing to do what I would tell my kids to do based on what the Bible says? Am I willing to do it myself? So after I gave Jay the $10, I'm $5 short of a house payment, I go to somebody's house that I was on the way to before I saw Jay along the side of the road. And when I was there, they gave me a sack of potatoes. They just walked up and gave me potatoes. Now, they didn't know we needed potatoes. We needed potatoes, by the way. We didn't have the money now, do it. We're $500 short of a house payment. You know, no money for food, no money for, you know, candy or big gulps or anything like that. So they gave me some potatoes. I thought, hey, that's pretty good. So I'm driving home with these potatoes, and I'm thinking, and I'm kind of repenting. I'm kind of in remorse and saying, you know, I just don't believe God. Here I am. I talk about it big. I talk big. But I really, when it comes down to it, I just... I'm like in the unbelief mode. So I'm driving home. I get home, and this is what started this conversation. I go up, and it was a Saturday morning, and in my mailbox was a check for $67.88. And my first reaction is, well, look, God's going to bless me for the $10 I gave away. And I realized that wasn't reality, what was going on. This was a check that shows up every month. It's out of a trust that my grandmother died, and she left a certain amount of money in a trust. And I get $67.88. I mean, big deal. And then all of a sudden it occurs to me. I go, wait. Now I need to tithe this. This is where it came in, my talking to my kids about giving away my money. And I thought, I got to tithe this. Now, I've never been in a situation where I would tithe $67.88. Do I give $6.78? Do I give $6.79? I'll round up. Well, that's a little bit weird. That's a little bit just chintzy. What? Go ahead and round it up to $7. All right, well, $7, that's kind of chintzy. I mean, that's a little bit bogus, you know. Well, let me round it up to $10. And all of a sudden, I'm going, $10? I mean, what kind of gift is $10, you know, for church or for as a tithe? And all of a sudden, it occurred to me, like, well, you know what? This $67.78 isn't going to save me anyway. It occurred to me, all of a sudden it hits me, I need 10 times this. I need 10 times this $67.88, or I will surely die. I mean, to get through the end of the month, to buy food, you know, pay for the phone bill, or what? I need 10 times $67.88. And all of a sudden it occurs to me, hey, you silly goose, use the $67.88 as a tithe. Give this check to God. Now, isn't that weird? Before you get the 677, et cetera. You know? I mean, just do that. So what I did is, now I realize that tomorrow morning, on Sunday morning, my attitude's going to change. So real quickly, I turned over the check and I said, pay to, and I wrote my church's name on there. You know, I signed it, pay to such and such church for no remuneration. You know, letting them know we're not doing money laundering. I mean, this is actually a transfer, an assignment of this check, right? So I wrote that on there right away. And then the next day, I go to church. And I bought a bunch of military bunk beds from, and they're wood. They were nice. They were from a barracks, and they were actually very nice. And I was going to sell them. I hadn't advertised them yet. But we're there on Sunday morning, and the plate comes by. I put in my check for $67.88. I just stuck it in the plate, and it went by. And I'm actually not even feeling good about it. I'm still very fearful, like, hey, you knucklehead, just gave away $67, you know. But I realize it's the right thing to do. It's the kind of thing I would teach my children to do. So I need to do it myself, even when things aren't going so well. And right after church, this lady walks up to me and she says, hey, I heard you're selling bunk beds, and I need one. I'd like to buy one from you. And I'm like, wow, this is This is a miracle. I haven't even advertised these things yet. Wow. And wow, this is really neat. And then she says, oh, my kids have been sleeping on the floor for months. Here's this lady with two kids that's sleeping on the floor. And I got 11 bunk beds. Man, I'm going to start selling them now. I'm really excited. And then she says, I said, yes, you can buy a bunk bed. She says, how much? I said, $45. Now watch this. These bunk beds are worth hundreds. But at the time, I'm just telling you, I wanted to turn around these things so quick. Turned out later, I'm selling them for $100 a piece. When, you know, I got another set. I mean, I was selling them later at $100 a piece, and people loved it like it was a steal. Okay, so they I sold these things to her for $45, and then she turns to me and she says, "Hey, would you mind if I could pay you over time? I don't have the money for it right now." And all of a sudden, it hits me. Wait a minute, I have 11 bunk beds. This lady's kids are sleeping on the floor. Why don't I give her a bunk bed? Now, at first, I'm thinking, you know, the $45, woo, yeah, I haven't even advertised. Somebody wants to buy them. Then I realized she doesn't even have money, man. She's worse off than I am. And all of a sudden, I said, listen, you don't have to pay me the money. And she goes, no, I really want to. And she looked like she didn't tell her that I really was convinced that I wanted to give her one. I said, no, I will take pleasure. I want to. I said, I've got 11 bunk beds. And I'd like to give you one of them. And she goes, oh, thank you. God bless you. So here in 24 hours, I'm all whining. I had a house payment and $5. I give away $10, so I'm now $5 short of a house payment. But then right after that, somebody gives me potatoes. So basically it was like, you know, I'll just tell you what happened. Then that day I got $67.88. I give away $67.88. Then I gave away $45 worth of bunk bed. So roughly about $123 and change I've given away, or $122 and change I've given away in 24 hours. And I'm driving home with my wife, and we're whining, and we're talking to each other, and we're actually start crying, because we're both saying to each other, man, we just have no faith. We don't really, you know, we talk this religious stuff, but we don't really believe the Lord, you know? And we both were in the point where we came to realize, you know what? Our hearts aren't right, and God is so good to us. And so far, all we gotten was potatoes, and all we done was give away. But we knew it was like, you know, God's going to save. We just got to quit our whining and trust that God's really going to save us, that this Bible stuff's really true. We get home, and I pull up to the driveway, and we see an envelope on the front door. I figured it was somebody writing a note complaining about our dogs barking or something like that. But so we get up there, and we look, and we open up this envelope. There's $120,000 in cash in this envelope. And there's a note in there. It says, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He told me to go sell one and give you the proceeds. And then there was a scripture reference in there that was very, 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 very challenging. But as I'm telling you, we opened this up, we just started crying, man, because we realized our heart was not right. And you know what? We just had a little bit of faith. We got enough faith to just do what we're supposed to do in spite of what we feel like. That's all we had. It was just begrudging obedience. That was our mustard seed faith. But what really amazed me is I realized somebody's out actually literally having firsthand conversations with the creator of the universe, who's telling him to go sell something and give us the proceeds. Who knows what kind of argument they had to do that? Who knows what kind of... They may have just said, okay, Father, I'll do that. They may have just done that. I don't know. But what I realized was there is divine intervention going on. The creator of the heavens and earth that introduces himself in the Bible is out actually having firsthand conversations with people and giving them directives to meet our need. You know, it says his eyes are looking to and fro throughout the earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. I mean, that's really what's going on. I know this was kind of a big rant. We got to take a break here. But this is a true story. I think it's worth hearing. It's something you're not going to hear on most commercial talk radio. But you're going to hear it here on the Eagle 104.3 FM, because, folks, there is a literal temporal salvation to our situation. So we're going to be back. Keep tuning in to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I am going to end up coming back to the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. And I say our freedom is going to come in proportion to our faith.